strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The religious leaders of Jerusalem had been challenged by Jesus over and over and over during the some 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry in Israel. Their position of authority had been threatened and their power had been undermined by Jesus' teaching, his bold teaching and proclamation of the kingdom of God. As a result, they began to plot how to destroy Jesus. Their scheming and plotting started very early on in the ministry of Christ. As we know from the scriptures, there were various times where Jesus was almost destroyed, but it simply did not happen because the time was not right. It was not the hour for Jesus to suffer and die. However, as we heard last week's sermon, this Holy Week was the time when Jesus would willingly go to the cross to suffer and die. Yes, we believe and we teach and we confess that it was Jesus' mission, his indeed mission, to go to this cross. It was a decision that he made on his own accord. Thus, Jesus, he gave himself up to those who had conspired to destroy him. As a result, Jesus was arrested, put on trial at night, may I remind you, not for what he had done, but for who he was. Did you realize, my friends, that countless Jewish laws were actually broken to condemn Jesus? False testimonies were fabricated. The Jewish trial to convict Jesus was held at night, without a proper announcement. They accused Jesus of stirring up commotion in the crowds, prohibiting poll taxes and blasphemy. Thus they condemned him and they brought him before Pontius Pilate at 6 a.m. on Good Friday, where Jesus underwent flogging that would have killed most people. He was bloodied and brought to an unrecognizable bloody state and status, and mocked as if he wasn't even human. The Roman governor at that time, Pilate, then broke Roman law by allowing Jesus to be crucified. Now keep in mind that it was illegal to have a man flogged and crucified in the same day according to Roman ethics. Yes, the Jewish leadership, they bent and twisted their jurisdiction with fabricated lies. Yes, the Roman Empire broke its own laws by having Christ crucified. The full weight of the Jewish system and the Roman system, in other words, stood against this Christ. Not only was the Jewish system and the Roman system against Christ, the disciples had abandoned him as well. Jesus was left only with the Apostle John and a couple of women at his side as he bled and died. As you already know from this past week, as we've pondered the cross, as Jesus was on the cross bleeding, his energy drained from his body and it became more and more difficult for him to breathe as his body sunk low, causing his arms to pull upward on his own body. Not only did Christ suffer this oppression from the Roman Empire and the Jewish system, the abandonment of his disciples and his physical death, but on that cross, we see that he drug the sins of mankind upon himself. As he drug all the sins of the world upon himself, as if it was his own, he was abandoned by the Father as the Father judged this sin upon Christ. When everything was complete, he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit. After death, my friends, things were not yet complete either. The Roman soldiers were put in front of the tomb. We also know that a Roman soldier, to ensure the death of Christ, pierced his side with a spear, bringing water and blood. Then, as he was put in the tomb, and the tomb was sealed with a large stone, we know that the Roman soldiers were placed on the outside of the tomb to ensure that the large stone would remain, that the tomb would continue to be sealed, so that the work and person of Jesus Christ would fade into human history. My friends, do we get the weight? The Jewish system, the Roman system, the flogging, the mocking, the crucifixion, the stone, the guards, the spear were all meant to dispose of Jesus Christ. They were meant to wipe him from history. They were meant to destroy him, and they were meant to eradicate his followers. All the force that the world could muster at that time was devoted to exterminating this one called Jesus the Christ, to eliminate him from history, to abolish him. This all makes sense now when we consider the reaction of the women going to the tomb that we read in our gospel reading from today. When they went to that tomb early that Easter morning, some 2,000 years ago, they were perplexed. They were confused because the stone was rolled away. What had happened? Why didn't the soldiers keep the stone shut? Where was Jesus? Did someone raid the tomb and take his body? What is going on? Yes, Jesus had promised that he would rise again, but after seeing this full force of the Jewish system, the brutalities of the Roman Empire, the fierce death that Christ underwent, would this be something that Jesus would truly overcome? Thus they were perplexed and confused, seeing the stone rolled away and noticing that the body of Jesus was not there. After seeing the stone had been removed, the women encountered an angel of the Lord. This angel explained and told them what had happened. The angel said these powerful words for us today to hear: "He is not here, for he was raised just as he said." My friends, listen to the word of God. Jesus is not here. He is not in the tomb. You see, when I was a child, I would ponder Resurrection Sunday, as maybe many of you have pondered it as you've gotten closer and closer to the Sunday. And as I would think about Resurrection Sunday, I would think to myself and say to myself, I'm sure glad that the stone was rolled away by the angel to let Jesus out. I imagine that Jesus came to life in the tomb and simply had to wait around in the tomb to be let out. It's a funny thought to consider. However, the great truth about Easter Sunday is that Christ, he arose from the grave before the stone, get this, before the stone of the tomb was removed. Yes, in our gospel reading from today, we read that there was a great earthquake and an angel came down and rolled back the stone, causing the soldiers to be struck with fear as if they were dead. The angel then sat on the stone, and with the light of the morning sun shining into the dark tomb where Jesus once laid. But where was Christ if he was not in the tomb waiting to get out? If Jesus was not in the tomb waiting to get out and waiting for that stone to be removed, which he was not there, where was he? The stone was rolled away and he was gone. Where did he go? Christ, after he was made alive in the grave, my friends, scriptures testify to us that he descended into hell. He descended into hell not to suffer punishment, but to proclaim his victory over his enemies in hell. Did you hear this? Christ went to hell to proclaim victory. He went into the enemy territory to reveal that he was the victor. Then he went to be among the living. My friends, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. Rather, the stone was rolled away for you and for me so that we might know that he is not there, that he is not among the dead. it was rolled away to show the followers of Jesus and to reveal to all people the victory which Christ had obtained over sin, over death, and over the devil. It was as if the curtain was pulled back so God could reveal what his suffering servant accomplished on the cross. The empty tomb is icing on the cake. It validates and it points back to what Jesus did on the cross. It validates that death was not victorious and that what Jesus did on the cross was truly, truly sufficient indeed. He is not here. These are the words the angel said to the women, explaining and showing that Jesus silently and wondrously passed through the rock. The words, "he is not here," tells us that the Jewish system, the Roman system, death, sin, and the devil cannot and did not exterminate Christ. They could not wipe him out. They could not wipe him from history, nor could they destroy his kingdom that has no end. Indeed, my friends, because Jesus is not in the tomb, we can confess that Jesus is divine. For no mere man could overcome death, especially the death that Jesus endured. Indeed, my friends, because Jesus is not in the tomb, we can confess that everything Jesus taught to us is indeed true. Indeed, because Jesus is not in the tomb, we can confess that our sins, your sins and my sins, have been truly paid for, that God's wrath was appeased, that death is powerless, that the devil is defeated. We can confess that what happened at the cross actually worked. Indeed, the empty tomb confirms, it sanctions, it validates that we have a living and victorious Savior, a living advocate. Because Jesus is not in the tomb, it testifies that we too, my friends, as we shared in the children's lesson today, that we too will rise again anew in Christ. My friends, we have a Lord that is not here. Not where? Not in the grave. That is the testimony of the angel to the women that Easter Sunday some 2,000 years ago. And it is also the testimony of God's word to you and I right here and right now. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, is not among the dead, but among the living. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. No scheme of man and no power of evil could hold him down. My friends, because he lives, you will also live too. He is not there. He is not there in the tomb. He is risen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen and victorious Lord.